To the book of Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. We'll begin our reading with verse 1 and read through the chapter. Revelation chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, as he should offer it with the prayers of all saints from upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God and out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star was called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became Wormwood. And many men died of the water because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe! Woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of their voices of the trumpets and the three angels which were yet to sound. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee this evening, Lord, we're so very thankful for the day that You gave us. Now, Lord, as we look into this passage of Scripture, Father, I pray that You help us to understand the great truths that You have here. Help us, dear Father, to be able to grasp the things that You're saying. And dear Lord, for what You do, we'll thank You. If there's anybody lost, I pray this is the time You speak to their hearts. And dear God, what You do, we'll thank You for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we're looking at when heaven falls silent. This is a time where we're picking up now with the trumpets. The trumpets are far worse than seals. And we'll see a good start of them here at this time. And keep in mind that when we get to the vials, they're worse than the trumpets. As you look at this, you think, my goodness, how could this possibly get worse? Well, it does. And it gets significantly worse as we go along. Some of this here with the trumpets is very difficult. It was very difficult for me to really grasp some of the things that he was saying. And we'll see this as we go along. And so I've made a few, did a few things to help me understand it, and that's how I want to present it. Y'all can take it or leave it, because it's not scripture, some of the stuff I want. I don't really think I'm going to preach off something in the Bible, but there are just some of the things that we picture here that I don't know any other way to grasp it, so it may or may not be in that regard. And we're just going to pick right up with the trumpets. There, first thing to notice, there is suffering on the earth. Suffering the likes that the world has not ever seen. We've seen some pretty terrible suffering up to this point in the tribulation. Verse 6 tells us that the angels take their places. Everything in heaven is just as it is anywhere else with God. It is orderly. It's not chaos. It's not haphazard. It is in an orderly fashion. These angels had an appointed place, each one, and that's where they got. They're there to prepare the trumpet, sound the trumpets, and as they do, we're about to see one whore after another come upon the earth and her inhabitants. The first one in verse 7 is the trumpet of devastation. The first trumpet brings hail and fire mingled with blood. When I first read that, my mind went back to the plagues of Egypt. I remember there was one when the hail came and thunderings and all the trouble that came, fire and things that came with that. I think, is a very clear description of hail and fire falling from heaven, not from any other source, but coming directly from heaven. The blood here was one that I really did some digging and looking. I couldn't really find anything that satisfied me, to be honest. In fact, most of them didn't even bother to touch on it. So I think it could be the blood of the men and animals that's mingled with this cataclysm when it hits. The many people that were caught out, because you think, you look at the damage can happen to a vehicle if you get out and get caught in a hailstorm, hailstones the size of golf balls and all that. Which, every time I think of that, I think of somebody, some wise guy wrote a thing and said, what did they measure hailstones by before they were golf balls? But you know, everybody talk about golf ball sized hail, but you know, that could be your car on pieces, break glass on them. Imagine gray hailstones. And with fire coming down, there would be tremendous devastation to anybody that was caught out in it. It may be where the blood comes from. It may not. I'm going to try to preface everything I say like that. That's something I'm taking a stretch on. Whether the nature of this judgment is the storm of wrath falls upon the earth, and as it does so, it's not just for what it does to man directly. That is the men suffering directly. The suffering they're going to come is down the road. For as this comes, it burns up one third of all the trees on the earth, along with all the grass. Not a third of the grass, but all the grass. Now that is something that I can't imagine what the world would look like with no grass. But it's all going to be burned up. There won't be a sprig of fresh grass anywhere. And a third of the trees that was gone. As a result of this judgment, what do you think is going to plummet here in the earth? Trees give off what? Oxygen. So if a third of the trees are gone, then that means a third of the oxygen that is normally in our air is gone as well. So that is going to be an effect upon all of those. And also, think about this very quality of not only the fact that there'll be some less, but think of the quality of the air that is to be breathed as long as this great fire is going to be affected by it. Now, from everything that I read, the word trees here is not making reference to just trees that you think, just look at the woods and see the trees. That would be bad enough. But this is in reference to fruit trees. Where people get their sustenance from, people get their nourishment from, they're the ones that's going to be destroyed. And a third of them, they will not be here. Wheat, which was used to produce bread and is used to be bread, is a type of grass that is referred to here that's going to be all of it burned out. The grass is used, as we know, and I mean, this is not a big duh, we all know that. Grass is what is used to graze livestock. Grass is what's used to produce the hay that the livestock have to survive on through the winter. There isn't going to be any. No grass, no hay. Well, because I imagine that grass would be of such a poor quality, it wouldn't do any good to try to bale it up, which would just prolong the inevitable, that it's all going to be gone. So the livestock are not going to have anything to eat. Therefore, this judgment will have a tremendous impact worldwide in the food supplies. Can you imagine what the price of a loaf of bread will go to? Could you imagine if you think the prices of beef went bad now, just think about what they'll be like then, when the farmers will be trying to have to get rid of them, and the market will not be friendly with the farmer. They never are when there's a cataclysm, but boy, that gouges the prices of the consumer, those that could have it. Nobody's going to be able to afford it if you did. If what's there, it's going to be a tremendous effect on our food supplies. There is a time of great geological, ecological, and economic disaster will come upon the earth. Verse 8 and 9, we find the trumpet of destruction. When the second trumpet sounds, a fiery mountain is seen falling into the sea. And as it does, and when it does, One-third of the sea is contaminated, and one-third of all marine life dies, and one-third of all the ships that will be out there will be destroyed. Now, this is another one of those. The only way that I could think in my mind to picture what this was would have it as some type of gigantic, and I don't mean gigantic and just somewhat big, a gigantic meteor falling to the earth. A fiery mountain, something the size of a mountain. And when it hits the ground, when it hits the water, it will destroy one-third. That's an interesting number. It's very prominent in here. One-third of this, one-third of that. But it will destroy one-third of all the marine life. One-third of the seas will be contaminated. And the ships that will be out there will be destroyed. Now, how will they be destroyed unless they had to be hit directly? Well, something that size falls, the wave that it's going to produce will be something capable of capsizing any ship in its way. So the third of them will be destroyed. It'll easy destroy all the life in the sea. You think about the sea life, it is something that's been plagued or spared a lot of the plagues, a lot of the problems that has befallen the earth in the judgment of God. You think about the marine life, there's a great abundance of it. You see films that they go under, you see great schools of fish going every which direction. You'll see a great multitude of different kinds of fish that's in the sea. You go to a true seafood restaurant, there's no shortage of amounts of different kinds of seafood that you can eat, whether it be shelled fish, or it's like crabs and oysters and mussels and things of that nature, or whether you're getting fresh fish or fish of any kind. Man, there's all different types of fish that's available for you. A third of that's going to be gone. And it's going to be gone all because of the judgment of God that's fallen upon them. This would contaminate the oceans with the dead and rotting bodies of marine life. If you think about back during the Civil War and those other times, when if somebody wanted to poison a water source, what would they do? They put a dead horse or something in that water. And as it decayed, it would poison that water. It would be safe to drink, would be fit to drink. So this all of that marine life, I'm not even going to guess the number of the marine life that's out there. I mean, it would have to be in the millions, I would think. And you take a third of that, that is a whole lot of dead, stinking, rotting fish in the ocean, in the seas. And it's just like you said, it'll contaminate. The rusting hulks of the ships that will be destroyed will choke up the shipping lanes and hinder the movements of both the people and materials that are trying to get around from one place to the other. Think about the sea. We are very, very dependent upon the resources that they retrieve from the sea, whether it be food or whether it be materials that are brought from overseas or stuff that we ship overseas, whatever the case may be. That's all going to be hindered. That's all going to suffer as a result of this. When the ocean are taken away as a source of life and livelihood, people will suffer from hunger and also more or a different economic disaster when they both happen. Now, if you notice, verses 7 and 8 both mention blood. Blood will fall from the skies, mingled in the skies, and the seas will be turned to blood as a result of all that's there. I think personally this is a very clear message from God, and that is that mankind as a whole has rejected the blood of Jesus as the sole means of life, as the sole means of salvation. Now God is placing blood before their eyes to remind them of what they had rejected in the Son of Jesus. My opinion. I think there is significance in the fact that blood was mentioned here, as we mentioned as prominently as it has. Verses 10 and 11, we have the trumpet of death. At this time, another object is seen falling from heaven. There's some that think that could be common. I'm not going to get into that. But another object is seen falling from heaven, whatever it might be. And it falls upon the fountains of fresh waters. If it was bad enough that it was falling upon seawater, the fresh water is far worse because you can't drink seawater anyhow unless it's been desalinated. You have to go through fresh water. Our bodies are not designed to be able to consume salt water. Here it hits the fountains of fresh waters. You think about the fountains of it. I think that is important because we can remember back to when the flood hit. We think about how it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and it did. But that flood was not the result of just the rain, because if you read the scripture, it talks about how the fountains of the deep are broken up. So there was great amounts of water that was rushing in from underneath the fountains, and then the incomprehensible amount of rain that was falling down that caused the flood. Two things working together. This is, to my thinking, my memory, this is the only other time it talks about the fountains of water. So this is going to get down not to just the little streams, though they will be affected, but not just the little streams of fresh water that you find, but down to the very deep sources of where the fresh water is. It's amazing how much fresh water there is that lies under the surface of the earth in the right places. I remember the youth camp that we worked at in Virginia. They said that they found the well that they camped into. They said it was actually an underwater river. They could fill a swimming pool. They could get water for everything and never touch the amount of water that was there. But think about a river that runs under. You think about, you ever go through the woods in summertime and you're hot and you're tired and you're just miserable. You come across a fresh little stream. You may have a canteen of water with you. You may have a bottle of water with you, but you're going to set them aside and get that fresh stream water, aren't you? And how refreshing it is and how it makes you perk up and how helpful it is. That's going to be gone. When that hits that time, it's going to be gone. This caught because of what's going to be, let me back it up. My mouth's flapping faster than my brain's working again. What this does, it causes the waters to become poison. The term that it uses here is wormwood. Now, wormwood translates the Greek word aspithenos, and it means bitterness. The bitter waters, you remember hearing them talk about that. It was poison. It wasn't able to drink them. It refers, and this is part I thought was very, very interesting. It refers to a plant whose leaves are used to manufacture a certain drink called absinthe. Now, absinthe is an alcoholic beverage that is so toxic that it is banned in many countries overseas. Now, wouldn't you want to go get you a nice big glass of something that could kill you? That's quite literally what that stuff does. It is so, so very toxic. And that's after it's been filtered down or watered down some. What happens when the wormwood hits that water, it's going to be the full strength of it as it poisons the water. 1/3 of the sweet, fresh waters of the earth are poisoned. And as a result, many will die as a result of drinking these tainted waters, not knowing which was or which wasn't. And in their thirst, in their being driven by this extreme thirst, they'll drink of that water and it'll be poisoned. The next one is the trumpet of darkness. When the fourth trumpet sounds, here we find God turns down the power of the sun, the moon, and the stars. The power is reduced by 1/3. You know, they think about it makes sense because we know that the moon produces no light of itself, but it is a reflector. It reflects the light of the sun. So if the sun's power is going to cut 1/3, then it stands to reason that the moon's power will also be cut 1/3 of what it used to reflect, and then the stars as well. They are dimmed, and when they do shine, they don't shine as brightly, nor do they shine as long as they once did. This is something that's going to mess up everything. You think about the mariners, the ones that survived, the ones that are still out there without the stars to guide them as they once were. It's going to be very difficult for them to go about and do anything. Some say that this is a result of all the ash and debris from the earlier judgments. I believe personally that this is nothing less than the supernatural hand of Almighty God doing it. It's not the result of anything. This is direct action from God upon them. The result is the earth will be plagued by coolness as well as darkness. They tell us that the reason that if we were closer to the sun by just a little bit, all life here on earth would die and be burned up. If we were further away from the sun by just a little bit, all of the earth would freeze. We'd not be able to survive. Well, here the amount of warmth that you get is going to be gone by a third. You know, that's one of the things that I like when I go out hunting, is to be in a place where before the sun comes up, it's cool, verging on being a little cold, and when you sit there and when the sun does hit you, oh, that feels so nice. It's just, doesn't it? It's just that warm glow that hits you. And buddy, right then, it's when the battle comes to stay awake. When I just try to tell them, I'm just kind of laying the sun like a big old snake or a lizard and try to take it all in. But it's not going to be warm like that. It's going to be dim by the power. This will affect the growing seasons. I'm not saying that there won't be seasons. The Bible's already declared there will be as long as the earth stands. But it will affect the growing seasons. It will affect weather patterns because of the coolness. It will affect plant life. It will affect the temperatures here on the earth. It will have to be cooler. It will also affect mankind's physical and emotional health. And you talk about or think about up in Alaska. You get up there closer to the North Pole and that in those regions. There is a time in the winter when it doesn't get, it stays dark just about all the time. And even when it is its best part of the day, they say it's kind of twilight. It's not pitch dark, but it's not light either. And they say that Alaska has the highest rate of suicide than any other state in the Union. It's being plagued by being in that dark and dingy and dreary condition so much. This will be a time that we're going to be plagued, the world will be plagued by darkness a lot more than they're used to. This trumpet will take a great toll on humanity. Think of it this way. Since the beginning of time, people have taken God for granted. I don't think there's any question about that. They have ignored Him. They have blasphemed Him. And they live as though He did not exist. People have also taken God's creation and that which we have and that which we enjoy for granted. There has always been plenty of trees and plenty of green grass everywhere that you look. There has always been plenty of oxygen to breathe because of the plant life and the trees that is here. The sea has always been there and it's always yielded its bounty. You know, you ever seen that show, Deadliest Catch or something like that? And it shows when they throw those nets overboard and the water is unbelievably rough that they'll bring in things in plumb full of crabs or whatever it is that they're out after. And I mean, the nets are heaping full with what they get. And that's not unusual. That's what is expected when a person goes out into the seas to go after that. It's always been there for the people who traveled and fished its waters. There's always been plenty of fresh water to drink. We've never really been a shortage. If you can't get a drink, or if you don't like the taste of the water that comes out of your tap, go to the store and get a bottle. You don't have any trouble getting plenty of fresh water. I mean, I know they don't produce it themselves. They got it from somebody, but you can even buy water that's by the store's name. You don't even have to go buy it directly from a company. So there's no shortage of fresh water. The sun, the moon, and stars have always been there, and their places have always been there to give us light, and they give us great light. However, during the tribulation, God will take away what people have always taken for granted, and they will become more and more aware that God is the God of the universe and all that's therein. Verse 13, we have the the testimony of doom, and this is where we'll leave off. The chapter closes with an angel flying through heaven pronouncing further woes upon the earth. Can you really sit there and say that you can imagine how it could be worse? I mean, for crying out loud, the sun, moon, the stars have been affected, the waters have been affected, the fish have been affected, the grass has been affected, thereby the livestock's been affected, oxygen's been affected, it's affected every area of our life, it's affected the livelihood of countless individuals. However, they're not near as bad as they're going to come. They're not near as bad as they're about to get. The worst part of the tribulation still lies ahead. And as we look at this and we consider these things, we might ask, how in the world could this ever happen? Well, my friends, it happens just as God says it will happen. There are a couple verses I want us to take a look at. First one's Ezekiel 38, verses 22 and 23. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. God will prove his glory in the day of his judgment, prove his majesty when his judgment comes. He will do these things that we have read in these verses to show people that who God is. It's a shame that you should ever have to, isn't it? But it's coming. Now there's another passage I want us to read, and that is Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Here, beloved, in Matthew, Jesus is describing the very events that we read about today and have been looking at. They will happen, number one, because the Bible says they'll happen, and it's backed up with what the Lord himself said they would happen. What a terrible time. What a horrible time. And keep in mind that the worst is yet to come. May God help us to be prepared for when this time comes. Let's pray.